My name is Adam. I'm one of the pastors here at Whitewater Christian Church. I'm glad to be here with you. Whether you had a good Thanksgiving or a bad Thanksgiving, I'm glad to be here with you. And I hope you're glad to be here with me.
Ow!
Yeah, yeah. So, we get to talk about something juicy today. Not turkey. Not ham. I've had my fill of that. I think my son Zero, he's about yay big. That dude put away probably 14 pounds of ham. I kid you not, that kid, every meal, like he ate all of the leftover ham. What do you want for, I want ham. And I would, it was almost a game. I'd give him more and more each time to see, he's never going to finish this. And he did every single time. And so I don't know what that means, but it scared me because he ate more than I did. So we got to talk about something juicy, not turkey, not ham. We got to talk about the wedding at Cana. And if anybody knows this story, and for those that don't, I'll let the cat out of the bag. Jesus himself turns water into wine. It's pretty juicy, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. It's probably not as juicy as you hope, but can we read it? Can we do that? All right. Anybody have a Bible? If you do, turn with me to John 2. It's in the New Testament, which means it's in the back of the Bible. You're going to start seeing names before this writing of John, this Gospel of John. It'll be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. It's the fourth book in, all right? You guys ready? Are you gals ready? All right, let's do this. So in the ESV it says this, on the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification. Can I define that for you? That's a nice word for sink. Okay? They have these 6 sinks there so the Jewish people can wash their hands as they come in. They're a cleanly bunch. In fact, some of us could probably take some cues from them about washing our hands. Yeah? There were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The first thing that Jesus does to flex his spiritual muscles is to make water into wine to help out with this wedding party. It's interesting reading this story. I find it comical to myself because I see a lot of myself in Jesus' answer of, "Woman, what business is it of mine?" You see this wine run out, and another comical thing for me is Jesus is coming, and they say Jesus is invited to this wedding along with his disciples, but as we see in just the verses before this in chapter 1, at the end of chapter 1, I mean, he's got like 6 to 8 homies maybe. So here's Jesus crashing this party with one invite, and he brings 8 friends. So are they the culprits that are drinking up all this wine? And they don't bring anything to the party. They're just hanging out with Jesus, you know, like, I'm sure everybody's had those kind of wedding guests. I'm one of those wedding guests. I don't even have to know you, and I'll come to your wedding. I like peanuts. And those, what are they, buttercream mints? Yeah? Did they do that at weddings still, or is that like an old thing? Yeah. Anyway, I just find it funny that these things are going on. So Jesus shows up with his homeboys. They say Jesus is invited. They also say the disciples were invited, but how did they know? Jesus just met these people. I'm not saying scripture's inaccurate. No. Ah. Joel, don't say those things. Don't say those things. I'm just saying it's just funny thoughts that come into my mind as I read this story. And as I started digging into commentaries and I started digging into the things that this juicy passage, you know, I don't think it's so juicy here at Whitewater. It is in other churches, in other denominations that really care about whether wine was actually alcoholic or not. Believe it or not, that's an issue in other churches. I don't think it's that in this church, is it? We all know that it was non-alcoholic, right? So I don't think it's an issue. But I just start laughing and I start relating to these characters and I start seeing Jesus in a different light. As I spoke about my mother and the milkman earlier, or the postman, my mom was here and my dad was here, and that my family just gets in at 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. And they said, we're here. And I said, well, are we eating lunch here? And they said, yes, meet us at Wendy's. So I pack up the kids, because they knew I wasn't cooking lunch. I'm cooking Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not cooking lunch. So I pack up the boys, and we head to Wendy's. And my mom, we start talking, and my dad's talking, my brother's talking, my sister-in-law's talking. And we just start talking, and my mom gets on some topic, because she's asking how things are going, how are the boys. And I start talking about my oldest son, Thaddeus. And I start talking, you know, Thaddeus is at another table hanging out with cousins. And I just said, you know, it's frustrating on sometimes. And you're sitting right here. I love you. This isn't bad. This is good. This is funny. Trust me. All right? And I'm talking about my frustrations with Thaddeus, and my mom just starts smiling. And I said, do not say it. And she says, I'm not. I said, do not say it. I would not. I said, if you say it, I will get up and I will push you out of your chair. So this is some of this, you know, this is not a serious, we weren't physically abusive in my family, but these are some of the funny things that we would say to each other. And even in these times of addressing my mother, there are times when I've been like, woman! I'll clean it when I clean it. You know, when I was living at home and my room was a mess. And then I would smile and she would slap me. I would smile, she would smile, and she just knew that the job was going to get done. And so my mom and I have this beautiful relationship. But as I started digging into commentaries, it's funny because the statement of Jesus really gives these commentators pause. Oh, is Jesus being mean to his mom? No, I think it's a mistranslation to say it like this. It really means, mother, what business is it of mine? Instead of woman, what business is it of mine? My time has not yet come. And so I just thought it was funny that this beautiful moment, which I thought was comical, which I actually heard myself speaking to my own mother in this very kiddish way, is a big deal in Scripture. And it's not a big deal. It's just, these commentators are trying to make Jesus look like this not mean man, right? And I don't think Jesus was mean. I think Jesus had a sense of humor. I think Jesus and his mother had a good relationship. And so his mom comes up to him and she just says, hey, Jesus, you and your homeboys drank all the wine. Actually, she just says, there's no more wine. And Jesus, very lovingly, kiddingly, I believe, says, woman, what business is it of mine? I drank all the wine I needed. And he says, my hour is not yet come, which is this foreshadowing of what's about to come when they crucify him. And that's kind of a cryptic saying because that's really the first time you see Jesus say this. My hour is not yet come. And his mom's probably just shaking her head like, whatever. I don't know what that means. So he says, What business is of this is mine, and my hour is not yet come. And I love Jesus' mom's response. It doesn't say she pleaded with him. Oh, Jesus, please. It doesn't say anything. She just looks at him, much like my mother would look at me. Woman, what business is it of mine? My hour is not yet come. And right away, after she asks, she didn't even ask him to do anything. She just says, hey, Jesus, the wine's gone. And after this happens, she doesn't address Jesus and try to rebuttal Jesus and be like, please, Jesus, make the wine. She just looks at the servants and says, yeah, whatever, Jesus. You just need to do what he says. Like a good mother, because she knows that Jesus is going to take care of business. Mother's asked, mother has made this request. And Jesus and his mom had a good relationship, I have to believe. But it also makes me wonder, what they record this as Jesus' first miracle. And not that scripture is inaccurate, Joel. But I wonder, did he do something like this earlier on? Growing up with mom. Growing up with dad. Did he have these kind of miracles? Did he change water to wine for Joseph a few nights? You know? Forgot to go to the store. Don't have any wine. Here you go, Pops. My ladder broke. I can't get up to the top of the roof, and he just levitates him. There you go, Pops. We're out of bread. Boom. You know, I don't know. And these are some of the questions that come up in my mind, and it makes it fun for me to think of what did Jesus' life look like, and how did his mom know enough to address him in just simple words of, hey, we ran out of wine. And so Jesus then, upon this request, it wasn't even a request, upon the statement of his mother, we ran out of wine, he then goes and she says, look, you just need to listen to him. He'll take care of it. And so these servants then are looking at this freeloading Jesus with his homeboys that are drinking all the wine. This is my own story. This is not in. And they're looking at him saying, okay, what you got, hotshot? You holding? And so Jesus just says, hey, you know, go get those sinks. Go get those purification tubs. And you're going to need to fill them up with water. And they take it, this water, to the master chef. And he tastes it. And he's like, man, this is better than the stuff we're serving now. And he calls the bridegroom in, and the bridegroom says, well, I don't know anything really about this. Most people serve this stuff at the very beginning, and then you drink swill the rest of the night. But you're serving this great stuff at the very end. What's up with this? And so this story is beautiful because it's really not all that juicy. It's not all that... I don't labor over this passage on how I'm supposed to teach it, but you see Jesus do this incredible miracle all behind the scenes. And what I find interesting is that what he does is so commonplace for who God is. He really doesn't do anything miraculous. God makes wine all year round, right? Every year. Jesus just speeds up the process. He's not doing anything that he doesn't know. He's not doing anything that's crazy for him to do. He's just being God. C.S. Lewis has a quote from his book, Miracles. And he says this, every year is part of the natural order. God makes wine. He does so by creating a vegetable organism that can turn water, soil, and sunlight into juice, which will, under proper conditions, become wine. Thus, in a certain sense, he constantly turns water into wine, for wine, like all drinks, is but water modified. Once, and in one year only, God, now incarnate, Jesus, God in the flesh, that's Jesus, as we learned in the first chapter, God now incarnate short-circuits the process, makes wine in a moment, And he uses earthen jars instead of vegetable fibers to hold the water, but uses them to do what he is always doing. The miracle consists in the shortcut, but the event to which leads to the usual one. God's just being God. God's just being God in this moment. God's just doing what he always does. He just does it faster. And so you see these hands, these helpers that have come and they filled these jars. And it talks about the master of the dinner. I can't even remember what they call him. Let me get you proper terms here, if it even matters. The master of the feast. They take it to him, and the only people that know what's going on is Jesus and his disciples. And the hired hands that are helping serve this dinner. The master of the feast has no idea what's going on. And the bridegroom has no idea what's going on. But something crazy happened. Something miraculous happened at this wedding. And it happened so much behind the scenes that not many people were aware of it, except for the people that needed to be aware of it. And so throughout the story then, the whole crux, the whole main point, it says it in verse 11 of this story, it says the main point is that it reveals Jesus' glory. This miracle, this God just being God and doing what God does, reveals his glory to the select few. And then it talks about the disciples who we read about in chapter 1, who were saying, we want to follow you. It talks about this miracle solidifying everything that they had thought about God. It talks about this solidifying, and they believed. In response to this sign, as they called it, it said that his disciples put their faith in him. And what this is a foreshadowing. This is the very first thing that happens within their sight. This miraculous thing, this sign of who God is. This is the very first thing that happens. And they say, ah, you are somebody different. You are who you say you are. We watched God be God today. We watched God do what God does. He just did it faster. And so we are going to believe in this God. We are going to believe in this man who is able to do these incredible things, who are able to change water into wine. And it's beautiful because for John, the writer of this writing, this letter, this gospel, this means that they see what Jesus is doing and they understand it, however dimly, however small of their understanding. They see it. They might not grasp it 100%. Their verdict may have even been out on God. I believe you now more than I did as we were walking on the road to this wedding. And it was pretty miraculous that you got us into this wedding so we could eat and drink. But I believe you more. And they're not even necessarily putting their finger on what that is. And it might be even a very just dim belief. They see in Jesus the very acts of power and graciousness that are like God. This God that they've heard about, this God that they know. And this water and the wine, there's not necessarily any parallels to the Old Testament, but there are pieces of the Old Testament that talks about God setting out this big banquet, this big feast, and bringing out the best wine. There are statements about Elijah and Elisha, how the miraculousness of him being one being fed by ravens. They were bringing him meat and bread. And I don't know if they chewed it up first and did the bird thing and like spit it in his mouth to feed him. I don't know if that happened. That'd be really gross, though. I hope they just brought him like giant chunks of it. But you see, these miraculous signs, like they have heard about, they've heard of these stories, they've heard of these prophets of old that they know. And then you have another one of oil and flour constantly being filled. And so they start seeing some of these things in Jesus, no matter how dimly, they start seeing these things with Jesus. Hey, you're doing what God did. You're doing what these prophets were talking about, and we believe. They see Jesus in the very acts of power and graciousness that are like his Father, God. Their understanding is very limited, but they see something of the Father and the Son and accept him as one come from God. And then they align themselves with him. They believe. They see these unexplainable things and they believe. They see God's hand in these things and they believe. No matter how small of a belief, no matter how dim of a belief, they believe. And Jesus keeps this, again, very low profile during the wedding. He doesn't come out and say, "Everybody, come watch me. Shabam!" I assume that's what Jesus would say if he did a sign. That was his catchphrase. He doesn't do that. He just says, "Hey, you guys need to grab those six water jugs, and I got this." And so you have a whole wedding party partaking of the goodness of God, God being God, God doing what he always does, unknowingly, other than the disciples, other than the servants that watched what happened. And so this miraculous is happening around them without them being savvy to it, without them being understanding of it. But yet they are the recipients of the miraculous, of the good wine. And that's where our story gets real for us. There are some of us disciples, these us followers of Jesus, who have seen miracles of God and have said, "Ah, you are God. You are who you say you are." No matter the size of that belief is there within us, and we say those things of, "Yeah, you're God." And then throughout our life, through the years that God gives us here on this earth, we start to understand more and more and more, hopefully as we move two steps closer, as our mission statement says, as we persistently move two steps closer to who God is, to Jesus, we begin to see more and more, and our faith begins to be more solidified. And then there's a whole bunch of us, too, that are recipients of this goodness of God, are recipients of this great gift, this good wine of God, and we've been given it, and we don't know it. We don't recognize it. We don't attribute it to God. We don't attribute it to a good gift. We don't know why. We don't know where it's come from. And so we see these miracles happen around us, and we can't put our finger on it. Or we see these miracles happening around us, and we choose not to put our finger on it and ascribe it to God. We ascribe it to Mother Earth. We ascribe it to Circle of Life, bro. We ascribe it to everything else but God. But that's the beauty of Jesus, is he never said, my disciples and I, we will take this wine and you guys can drink nothing. The entire wedding party is blessed by this beautiful thing by this beautiful miracle of God being God and doing what God always does. And all this jumps, for me, to the cross. All this jumps and fast forwards to the end of John where Jesus is crucified. Because God was just being God. God was just doing what he does. God's statement, Jesus' statement in the beginning of this story was, it's not my time yet. But we fast forward to this time where it is his time and he is crucified. Because yet again, he's bringing the good wine on that cross. He's bringing the best of the best and putting himself there for us. And putting himself out there for us. And we are recipients of it, whether we like it or not, whether we attribute it to God or not. We all are able to drink from this good wine. We all are entitled to this good wine because of what Jesus did. Not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus did. And so the question today are, as a recipient of this good wine, as a recipient of this wedding feast, as a recipient of all of these things that Jesus does, are you recognizing it as Jesus? Whether you're a disciple or not. And if you are, what are you going to do about it? The only thing that we are required to do is follow. We love God with all of our heart, and we love others, and we follow God. That's all we're required to do. And so if you've been following God and you have this small glimpse of what he's doing and you have this small glimpse of this miracle that you've witnessed in your life or many miracles that you've witnessed in your life, keep on going. Keep moving two steps closer, persistently two steps closer to Jesus. As our mission statement says, Whitewater Christian Church is a community that persistently moves two steps closer to Jesus. The world two steps closer to Jesus. And if you are one that has seen these miracles happen all around you and have been a benefit of these miracles, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from going all in? What's stopping you from saying, you know what, Jesus, I believe that you're Jesus. I believe you are who you say you are. What is that within you that's stopping you? The wine's already yours. All you have to do is take it and drink it. That sounded very cultish and Kool-Aid-ish, didn't it? We are not going to die and ride a comet together. But that's this big, juicy topic of Jesus doing what Jesus does. God doing what God does. He brings the good wine. He brings these miraculous down from heaven to earth in front of us. And we see it and we partake it. And there's some of us that just hold it at arm's length and we can't buy it. But we are beneficiaries of that. That is what Jesus did on the cross for us. It was all of this for us. For disciples, for non-disciples. All non-disciples are disciples in waiting. So what is your excuse? We've got a guy next week. His name's Joe. He's going to get baptized because he's seen miracles in his life that he can't explain. He's seen miracles in his life, and he knows God to be true, no matter how small that a belief may be at this point. And I don't think it's small within Joe. But he's saying yes to Jesus. He's saying, yes, you know what? I've had this wine, and it is 100% good. It is 100% God. And I'm going to do what I can to live my life as a disciple for Jesus Christ. So I'm going to do what I can to live my life and change my life to line up with that of Jesus. And in Scripture, we talk about this thing called baptism. You see this thing called baptism. Jesus was baptized. And we dunk you underwater. I can't explain it. I don't think it's magical. But I do see Jesus do it. I see his disciples do it. I see Jesus command his disciples to do it in Scripture. And so if you are a person that has had this wine and you've had all these questions, that these questions have gone unanswered and these questions are not, you're unable to ascribe them to Jesus, but yet you want to talk about those things, and you think following Jesus might be for you, come talk to us. Come talk to Craig. You can't miss him. Big bearded guy. Wave your hand. Higher, higher, higher. No one can see that. I'm here. Come talk to Craig. Come talk to me. Come talk to Rich, who is doing communion. Talk to Bonnie, who is playing bass. Talk to Marissa, who is playing guitar. Talk to Louise. I wanted to call her Lewis, and I knew that wasn't right. Talk to Lewis, who was playing keys. Talk to Caleb, who was leading the band. Talk to Darby, who was playing guitar. Come talk to me. I don't think Larry Andrews is here. But come talk to us. Let's open this dialogue. Let's have these conversations about who God is. He is good wine. So God, we love you, and we thank you for fun passages like this that we can dig into, and we can see Jesus being you, being God, being Jesus. God, thank you for some of the humor that I do read in Scripture, and I don't think it's just me projecting humor on it. I think you are a very humorous creator, and that's why we have humor. God, thank you for just the unknowns of even these scriptures that talk about Jesus in this first miracle, but somehow his mom knew because she knew that he was going to do this miraculous thing at this wedding. God, as we think about this wine, this first miracle, and the whole point being that God, your glory was revealed. That's the whole point, is that your glory was revealed, and it was seen by these disciples who then changed the world. 2,000 plus years later, we're still reading what they've written. 2,000 plus years later, we're still following this Jesus that they followed directly, that they were an eyewitness to all of these miraculous things of God just being God. We follow these things. We read these writings. We meditate on them. They change our lives. And that means the miraculous still happens today. That means that God, you are still being God today. And so, Father, my prayer is that there is just not an unknowing of who you are and what you've done for us. Like the majority of the wedding party, like the bridegroom, like the master of the feast, that there's just not this unknowing of who you are and what you've done. God, I pray for what we do here on a Sunday morning and what we do out in the community with one another throughout the week. God, that is all pointing to you and your goodness and the miraculous that you do in our lives every day. God, that there is no question about who you are, no question about what you want for others. God, thank you for this miracle that solidified this discipleship that you had around you, that solidified their faith,
that we would know who you are through these writings, that we would know that you are who you say you are. God, and may we as a people rise to this beautiful life that they write about within you. May we rise to this life. May we do all we can to be like you, so that we carry these good gifts wherever we go. That we would be the water transformed into the best wine possible. God, I pray for my friend's wife who lost her husband. Pray for Ramona today. God, they've seen the miraculous. They've witnessed that. They've lived it out together for many, many years in their marriage. And we just thank you for the ministry that they've had as they were Sunday school teachers of mine as I was a little child. God, that they just weren't receivers of good wine, but they were givers of it as well. God, may we be like that. We love you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.